So what would happen to the economy if we took Al Gore's advice and hit the brakes on carbon dioxide emissions? The person who's thought a lot about that question is Robert Stavins. Professor Stavins is the director of the Environmental Economics Program at Harvard University.
I think that the vice president has a point in which he says that global climate change is a very important problem. The question is to do something about it that's going to work, that's going to be sensible. And the most important thing to recognize about this environmental problem that really distinguishes it from the other environmental problems we've dealt with, and I've studied these and worked on them both at Harvard and in Washington and for 25 years, is that this is a stock, not a flow problem. What we're concerned about is the concentration of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, not the flow at any moment in time. And therefore, what's very important to recognize is that we have flexibility in terms of the timing with which we can deal with the problem. And therefore, there's no reason, even if it were a crisis, which I don't think it is at present, there's no reason to think in terms of freezing emissions. Rather, what we need to do is to get onto a sensible trajectory to bring about the kinds of long-term technological change that's required to shift us gradually from coal to petroleum to natural gas and indeed away from fossil fuels altogether. That's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight with coal-fired power plants or your car or my car or your furnace or mine. But we need to begin to send the signals to begin to do that.
Critics of the Bush approach say what's needed are mandatory caps on emissions. Does that make sense from an economic point of view?
I agree that a cap on emissions will be required. I don't think there's any doubt about the fact that voluntary approaches, which are a big part of the Bush administration's approach, that voluntary approaches will not be sufficient. And the reason, of course, they won't be sufficient if there are real costs of addressing the problem. If there were no costs, by the way, then voluntary approaches would be fine. Everyone would be jumping up and down and just doing them. But there are real costs, and that's why voluntary approaches are not sufficient. A cap will be required. The question is, what's the right trajectory over time for that cap? And what I would say, based upon all the economic analysis that's been done, and that's in Europe, the United States, and Japan, Australia, around the world, it points to the notion of slowing the emissions, the rate of growth of emissions of greenhouse gases, principally carbon dioxide, stopping that growth, and then reversing that growth, and then taking it down much more severe than even the Kyoto Protocol would have. That's the time path that's actually needed.
Professor, are economics and environmentalism at odds, or can you have both? Can it help the economy, or does it harm the economy by going green?
Well, the causes of environmental problems are fundamentally economic. It's as a result of market activity that we have environmental problems in the first place. Furthermore, there are important economic consequences of environmental problems. Hence, an economic perspective is essentially very, very, very helpful. Indeed, it's essential to really diagnosing the problems and doing something about them that's sensible. What one can do is to address environmental problems and address them in the most cost-effective way. There are sacrifices. We spend right now a substantial amount on environmental protection in the United States, and we're not in a constant recession. That doesn't mean there's zero cost, because they don't throw us into recession. So, of course, we can grow the economy and also address environmental problems.
Professor, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Robert Stavins is director of the Environmental Economics Program at Harvard University.